Welcome to the Steve's Dying Guitar Podcast, brought to you by GuitarZoom.com. If you want to improve your guitar playing, keep listening. If you want to improve even faster, go to GuitarZoom.com, where you'll find all of Steve's premium courses, masterclasses, and memberships that'll help you quickly and easily improve your playing. Now here's your host, Steve Stein.
Which one sounds better on your end? That one or this one?
I like both, but I'm from a learning standpoint, I'm going to go with the last one.
The second one?
Yeah. I like the crunchier one, but just maybe.
Well, this one's a little bit brighter where. That was a little bit meatier.
Yeah.
I love them both, but.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll use that one.
Cool. All right, guys, thanks for being here for yet again, Creative Soloing Workshop session.
Woohoo!
Yes. We are so thankful that you have showed up today to hang out with us. Super cool. I'm Dan Denley, founder of GuitarZoom.com. This is my good friend Steve Stein. Today we are doing a creative soloing workshop for you. And this one is on chord chasing. So chasing chords around while you do your solos, right? Isn't that the concept, Steve?
It is the concept.
All right. So guys, if you want to learn how to do that, keep watching. If you want to learn it even faster, you can go to GuitarZoom.com and check out Steve's new course. It's called Creative Soloing by Steve Stein, and it's available at GuitarZoom.com. And if you can't remember that, you can just go to the old Google and type in Steve Stein, S-T-I-N-E, or you can go to Google and type in GuitarZoom, Z-O-O-M, or you can just go straight to GuitarZoom.com. Any of those options, it's fine. It's fine. And if you want to be notified of the next time we do one of these sessions, just click subscribe and click the notifications button, and you'll get a notification that we're going to be going live again to another session. We've already done this creative soloing workshop, guys. So I'm telling you this because you can go to the YouTube channel and watch all of these in a nice, tidy playlist in case you missed any of the previous sessions, because they are kind of building on each other, but it's okay if you missed them. You can go back and watch them. You can hang out with us today and learn some cool tips and tricks on chord chasing. But we've already done meandering, which was awesome. We've done phrasing. We've done intervallic soloing and dynamic contrast. We've done creative scale patterns, the 2-1-2 pattern, the 1-2-1 pattern. We have done easy arpeggios for great guitar solos. And today we're doing chord chasing. If you want to learn all that, keep on watching. And if you want to learn it faster, check out Steve's course, Creative Soloing by Steve Stein, available at GuitarZoom.com. Take it away, my friend.
Okay, so basically, this chord chasing is one of my favorite things to teach people because it, you know, we get, again, stuck in this mentality where we just use a scale for all the chord changes, right? So we find out what key it's in, and then we choose that scale, and then we just kind of move up and down inside that scale, maybe meandering, right? But we really don't have a focus. We don't have a purpose for it. We're just kind of moving around. Let me show you an example of that. So what I've got here is a little jam track that I've made using D major, A major, B minor, and G. So these are four chords out of the key of D, right? So I've got D major, which is my one chord. I've got A major, which is my five chord. I've got B minor, which is my six chord, and I've got G major, which is my four chord. And if you don't know what any of that means, just know they're all from the same key. So oftentimes what happens with players is we play the jam track or the backing track, or we're jamming with the band, and we get in the proper key, like I'm in D major, and we just start meandering. But our meandering really doesn't have much direction. We're just playing. So sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. The beauty of pentatonic, of course, is that it's hard to hit a wrong note, right? But we still can play with lack of direction. Let me kind of try it the best I can to show you that. right? So, and I'm really just making fun of myself here, but you can tell that I'm just playing, right? There's no connection to anything. And if I was playing D major, like let's say I was actually using the D major scale itself. Maybe you're using diatonic, right? So you're learning that. So now same thing here. Right? Same idea. Okay? Again, some nights you might get luckier than others. Sometimes it all works out and it's magical, and sometimes it sounds absolutely horrendous. And I know what that's like because I've been there. Okay? Let's try and up the odds of having a better guitar solo, a better experience. And here's how we do it is we stop thinking just about the scale itself and we start doing what I call chord chasing. And I know lots of players out there that do this. So this is just a kind of a great tried and true element to do. So here's what I'm going to do. When the D major comes up, I'm going to solo in D major pentatonic. When the A major comes up, I'm going to solo in A major pentatonic. When the B minor comes up, I'm going to solo in B minor pentatonic. And when the G major comes up, I'm going to solo in G major pentatonic. So I'm not limiting myself to one particular scale. I'm going to follow these chords around. Now, here's the second thing you have to understand. When I go to solo over this, each chord doesn't last for 45 seconds. Oftentimes, when you're soloing, you don't have that much time on each chord to be making these extravagant things. Like we sometimes are misled by jam tracks and things. In the real world, you have a limited amount of time. Your entire solo might be 8 seconds long, right? With all the chord changes and everything. So even though this jam track is whatever, 2-3 minutes long, and I'm not going to solo for 2 or 3 minutes, I'm just explaining to you that oftentimes in a band, you don't get 3 minutes to solo over every song.
You know,
unless you're a solo artist or something like that, you get a limited amount of time. So what I want to do is I want to get in there over each one of these chords and say what I have to say as best I can with the limited amount of time that I've got. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play something and I'm going to limit myself right now to the third and fourth strings. So that's all I get, those four notes over that D chord. Something. Okay? And I'm probably going to target that D note right there over that D. And then A comes up, I'm going to move down to A. And then B minor comes up, I'm going to head back up to B minor pentatonic, which is the same as D major pentatonic if you didn't know that. Except I'm looking for the B this time. And then over G, I'm going to move up to G major pentatonic. So I'm playing 12 and 14 on those two strings, okay? So I'm playing D major pentatonic, A major pentatonic, B minor pentatonic, and then G major pentatonic. Just playing a couple of notes is all I need to get started. So here we go. Now, all of a sudden, the solo has a little more direction. Over the D, it really does sound like I'm doing something that relates to that D major chord. Over the A major, sounds like I'm really relating to that. B minor, same thing. G, same thing. The problem is, of course, is I'm having to move all over my fretboard to make this happen. So there's a lot of space in between. Okay? But again, if it's a great place to start. If you're learning how to get creative, this is a great place to begin. Now, before I move on to step two, I just want to see if Dan's got anything he wants to ask or if anybody's asking anything.
Well, one question we have is this related to the caged system, this chord chasing idea?
Yeah, it is. You wouldn't have to see it that way necessarily, but it is. The bigger picture, it's certainly to blow this up and to really learn about how this works, you would definitely want to explore the cage system.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a great question, actually. By the way, guys, if you have questions as you're going through this, pop them in the comments box or try to get to them. Just so you know, there's actually, in case somebody wants to go deep into that caged idea, since somebody brought that up, Steve has a course. It's called Caged Made Simple. Caged Made Simple. And it's available also at guitarzoom.com. And this is, but this particular thing we're talking about with chord chasing is in the creative soloing course as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, I just want to make that distinction. Creative soloing is the whole idea of this workshop, and that's what this whole new course that Steve's created for you, created for you. It's called Creative Soloing. So that's kind of the concept that we're talking about here and playing over these chords. But yes, they are related. I guess that's the answer to the question.
Yeah, 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 for sure. I mean, in the bigger scheme of things, it emphatically is related. You want to be able to see chords all over the fretboard, but we're not going to get that far today. I just want to open up this can a little bit further for those of you that understand. So let's make sure we understand this. So what I did was over the D major, over the major chord, D major, I went to D major pentatonic. I added the D major pentatonic scale. I am visualizing that by putting my pinky on D and playing that usual minor pentatonic-y shape, but I'm starting on D here. And again, if you need any understanding of those, that's where you'd want to go to like our fretboard connection guitar course or something like that to learn all about how these connect together. But so I'm playing that D major pentatonic right there. Then if I want A major pentatonic, I'm going to move down, do exactly the same thing on A. So you have to understand that I'm not in the same key anymore, right? I'm looking at D major as D major pentatonic and A major as A major pentatonic. So I'm chord chasing. I'm moving with the chord. When B minor comes up, I'm going to go back and play B minor pentatonic. And when G major comes up, I'm going to go to the 15th fret there and play G major pentatonic. Now, you might play your pentatonics a different way or what, and it's perfectly fine, okay? It, you can do this any way you want, depending on what it is that you know. So, again, I have a limited amount of time on each chord, so I'm doing something over D, doing something over A, doing something over B minor, do something over G. It doesn't matter what the chords are. I could do this for any variety of chords. But here's the deal. To make this sound a bit more cohesive, what I would like to do is be able to play all of these things kind of in the same area on the guitar. It would make it easier. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take D major. I'm going to keep D major right square where it is right there. Okay? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the A major scale and I'm going to superimpose that over this position of D major. Now, I'm not going to go into the whole thing because, again, I don't want to get sidetracked on a different topic of conversation. But let's just take some of these notes here, okay? If I took the A major scale, and I find A up here. Do you hear that? Do you hear how they're the same notes?
Yes.
See that? So I'm playing, to play A major, I'm playing 7-9, 6-9, and then 7-10. Well, if I compare D major and A major together, I see that D major had 7-9, 7-9, 7-10. A major, though, had 7-9, 6-9, 7-10. So A major provides me with a new note that D major pentatonic did not have. So watch this. If I go back to that backing track now, all of a sudden that note sounds really, really good over that A, because it's a note that didn't exist over the D, but does exist over the A. And the reason I like to explain it this way is because oftentimes people will say, well, aren't you just creating the D major scale by doing all this? Sure, but then you're back here. And you're not thinking about the separation. You're not thinking about the difference between the D and the A. I want to do something different over the A that's unique to the A that doesn't just sound like the same thing I'm doing over every chord. You with me so far?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to take, I'm going to take that same idea and I'm going to apply B minor. So B minor and D major, again, they are the same scale. They use the same notes. Everything about them is the same. But here's the difference. Over that B minor chord, I want to give the minor chord, because there's only one minor chord in this chord progression. I want to give that minor chord a bit more of a blues sound. So I might do a... Right? Give it more of a blues feel. Now, I don't have a lot of time. Just something like that. Something that separates it again, makes it a little different than everything else that I'm doing. So I'm going to give my blues flavor to that B minor chord.
If you're enjoying this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, go to guitarzoom.com and consider becoming a premium member. There are three memberships to choose from. VIP, which gives you instant access to a library of short but powerful courses, as well as new bite-sized lessons each month. There's also Play Songs, that gives you step-by-step lessons so you can learn to play your favorite songs fast. And finally, there's Masterclass, university-level training on everything from soloing to music theory, from blues to home recording. For more info about these memberships and all the premium courses available to you, go to guitarzoom.com. Now back to the podcast.
And then G major comes up. Okay, well, let's look at G here. So if we had G major, we have the notes. So we have to come down here and we have to try and find a G, okay? And this is going to be a little bit harder because I got to make the scale a little longer so you can see it. Do you hear how they're the same? So right there, what I'm playing is 10, 7, 9, 7, 9, 8. G major has an 8th fret right there, which A major did not, B minor did not, and D major did not. They all use the 7 and the 10. But the G major wants 8 and 10. So over the G, that 8 is one note I certainly want to try and target. So if I kind of just sort of summarize what I've got here, if I was playing D major, I'm just going to go from the 4th string to the 1st string to make this nice and quick. So D major, I'd play 7, 9, 7, 9, 8, 7, 10, 7, 10. That'd be D major and B minor.
Okay.
A major is going to use 7, 9, 6, 9, 7, 10, 7, 9. Because those are octaves. So this note right here is a pretty cool note too, right? It's an octave of that. Mm. And then A major, or G major, excuse me, is going to use 7, 9, 7, 9, 8, 10, 7, 10. Now, again, you can go back and watch this. And of course, I talk about this in the course too, so you can learn it from there as well. But just so you see how this works. So what I'm going to do is strategically, with a limited amount of time, I'm not going to play a bunch of notes. I'm going to try and play something that targets the notes of D. And then A. And then my bluesy B. And then G. And you can already hear that there's some real unique sounds happening. And now all of a sudden my solo has more direction over each one of those chords.
Wow.
Can you hear that okay, Dan?
Awesome, dude.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm having a little bit of connectivity. I can hear you perfectly, but the video is a little choppy. I hope it's okay for everybody who's watching.
Yeah, it keeps telling me that your bandwidth is low, so.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, so if that makes sense, I can hear your voice for sure, Dan.
Okay, so go ahead.
Even if your video isn't working, I can hear your voice. So
cool. Sweet, dude. Can we just keep going with this? This is awesome.
Yeah, well, let me show you one other example. Now, of course, as we keep going, the only way I can keep going is I've got to advance the idea, right?
Right.
You can start with just spanning out following each pentatonic position, and it's perfectly fine. Even if it sounds a little, you know, disconnected because you have to move around the fretboard, it's a great place to begin. And as you get more comfortable with that, you try and see them kind of in the same position. So the more you learn about, like Dan said, what's called the caged, C-A-G-E-D, the caged chording system, what you can do is start following those chords more around the fretboard. So over the D, I might see a D chord here, and a D chord here, and a D chord here, and a D chord here. You see, I can see D chords all over the fretboard. So there's lots of different places I can go, D here, D here. So when that D chord is being played, I might do something. And then A comes up. And then G chord comes up. And I might do, or excuse me, B minor. Again, more of a bluesy kind of thing I would do. And then G comes up. And there's my D again. There's my A, my B. And then my G. So if I do that over the progression, I could do with
so
that.
Freaking awesome.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it's so much fun. And again, because when I was younger, everything was what I used to call linear, you know. So I just play in one position, you know, doing whatever speed stuff I would try and do. So if this was playing, my old method of playing was always what I showed you in the beginning. And if it fit, great. And if it didn't fit, I would try and make it fit as good as I can. And again, sometimes it works out beautifully. But what I love about this chord chasing system is it reminds me of like all the like Southern rockish kinds of bands that I used to love that kind of soloing. Country artists used to do this all the time where you're really following those chords around a ton. You know, you're very aware of each chord as it's coming up. You're not just soloing blankly or blindly over every chord, hoping the notes work because they all fit in the same key. And that's the logic, right? Is, well, all the chords fit in the key of D, so everything will work together. Well, that's not necessarily true. You really want to try and emphasize certain things over each chord as they come up. And again, you think of, we talked about Eric Johnson earlier, and for me, Andy Timmons is another guy. My buddy Tim Pierce, if you know who Tim is, Tim does this stuff all the time. And it's just a great way of learning how to play.
Yeah. Awesome. Yes, Tim actually has a great YouTube channel, guys, if you haven't seen that as well. He's this unbelievable musician. Learned a lot from him as well. Man, this has been super fun. One guy just says, keep going, !!
Well,
point.
I think that's honestly enough right now. But the trick is in order to be able to do this, you've got to be able to see the scale and the chord surrounding it, right? That's kind of the trick here is that as you're moving, you might see more scale, less chord, or you might see more chord, less scale. But the trick is to give each chord something unique. Right? So maybe you give D more of a chordal sound, right? And then A, you give it a single note. And then B minor, you give it the blues. And then G, and then maybe G, I kind of lead it back into the D, right? And that way, everything is getting a little something different. They're not all just getting notes, or they're not all just getting chords. Now, I don't have to separate them all every single time. It's not like every time this passage comes around, I have enough brain power to go, okay, chord, note, blues, note, chord, scale, blues. I'm not thinking of it like that. I'm just, again, using what I call dynamic contrast, or that idea of varietizing what you're doing. So if it seems like I've been doing the same thing too much, I try and get out of there. Now, I don't just have to be here either. I can go wherever I want, right? I mean, I could come up here, do something over D, and then when A comes up, B, and then G, back to my D, you know? And then A.
Can you show us that with the backing track?
Well, like this.
Please, please.
What I mean, you're just following the chords around. So if I can see those chords and I can see the scale, at the very least, if I see the chords, I can make the chordal connection, right? That's what Caged is all about. But I want to see the scale too, because that's going to give me all the passing notes. It's going to give me the notes that connect from one thing to the next.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's a great way. And so, like in one of our earlier workshops, I was talking about how as I get older, one of the things I love to do is noodle. But I don't noodle aimlessly, I noodle in this way. Like I love to just explore D major around the fretboard, or B minor, or G minor, or whatever it is you're doing. I love to sit and look at my fretboard and see what kinds of things I can come up with for this. This is completely pointless when I go into one of my metal bands to play. This isn't the approach that I would take to any of those kinds of solos.
Right.
But this is very much a practical approach that I would take for any of the rock stuff I do, or the worship stuff that I do, or just songwriting in general. I love this kind of playing. So yeah. I'm very attracted to listening to this when I hear it. So, you know, at times I put my metal, you know, cap on and I do that thing, which is more of a linear playing style. You're not really following the chords as much. Doesn't mean you don't do it, because of course you can do it. It depends on the style, the band, the song, all those sorts of things. But then when this comes along, this is what I do when I solo. So there's just lots of different ways you can approach it.
And I love this because it's so practical. Like with the metal stuff, you know, you're mostly dealing with power chords or some kind of drop tuning or something, and you're kind of like playing straight ahead. And this is applicable really to music that goes back, I would say, 50 years, you know, before metal was even a thing, really. You know, you could apply this to a country, you can apply it to blues, you can apply it to pop, you can apply it to like Southern rock. There's a lot, anytime you have these full chords where you have, you know, like a major or minor sound or a seventh sound or something, you can use this chord chasing idea. And it's just so practical to know how to do this.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're, again, I can't say everybody's attracted to the sound, but I just really like it because it really does have such different parameters to me as a human than it did when I was younger and everything I played was hard rock and metal. You know, when I would play over AC/DC, I wouldn't think like this. I was thinking more in the blues realm, the blues rock, hard rock realm, right? And then if I was playing over, you know, Megadeth or Metallica or something like that, then I'm thinking more about, you know, faster licks. And it's more about the energy and the power. And it's less about the connectivity to the chord. It's more about, well, energy. That's really what it is. Where this isn't really about trying to be necessarily. They all can overlap. And that's the beauty of individuality, is you can figure out how to make it work best for you in the way that works best for you. That's why, you know, some new guitar player come out and everybody goes, oh my gosh, this sounds wonderful, because mm-hmm. they found a way of blending in a way that works best for them, and people go, that's really unique. But what I've always loved about this is that the guitar isn't necessarily having to be flashy, it's just being practical, but it works because it's doing everything that music needs. It's got phrasing, it's got dynamics, and it's got, you know, melodic connection, that sort of thing. And again, right. For me, you know, I guess personally, it's just something that I didn't have for many years in my playing. So I found a renewed love for this kind of, because I always loved listening to it. I just never understood it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Why I guess I teach it. So
I think a lot of us are in that same boat. You hear it as a player and you're like, I just would really love to learn how to do that. If that's kind of what you're thinking, guys, you might want to check out Steve's new course. That's the whole point. That's why he created this for you. And that's why we're doing these creative soloing workshops, is because this is a type of guitar playing that I think a lot of people would like to learn. It just sounds so cool. And there's so many different ways to apply it into different types of music. And again, it's all about musical expression. And it's we have, you know, Steve has Music Theory Masterclass. He has Guitar Soloing Made Easy. He has Unlocking the Fretboard Connection. He has Caged Made Simple. He has all these courses. This one is different. It's creative soloing. It's all about creativity. It's all about using all the powers you have to make your solo sound expressive and musical. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, really, this chord chasing idea. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this. Everything that we've talked about in the Creative Workshop series comes from Steve's new course. It's called Creative Soloing by Steve Stein, and it's available at guitarzoom.com right now. How would you like to wrap this up, my friend?
Well, I think, again, I think that's enough. It's just understanding that, again, don't go for the all or nothing approach where you think in your head, well, I can't see all the fretboards, so I didn't really understand how he put it all together right there, so I should learn that first before I try this. I'd rather you start by learning how to just move around a little bit and make it practical for you, and then start adding in the other things, you know? Always try and find a way to play, not just learn. Absolutely, you need to learn. Don't get me wrong. But find a way to play. Find a way to practice. Find a way to explore along with excelling your abilities.
Yeah. And guys, always remember, the better you are, the more fun it is to play. Mm-hmm. The better you are, the more fun it is to play. So if you would like, guys, and I see there's people that are just joined us recently. If you we're kind of wrapping up here. So if you missed out on this session, don't worry. There will be another session. Also, we're putting them, everything that we're doing in all of these live sessions, we are putting on YouTube for you in a playlist. You can just go to the Guitar Zoom YouTube channel. You can go to Steve Stein's YouTube channel. It'll be there. Just click on playlist. It'll be under Creative Soloing. You can watch all the previous sessions that we did. And if you want to get the course, it's Creative Soloing by Steve Stein, available at guitarzoom.com. Steve, I can't thank you enough. It's always a highlight of my day to be with you, my friend. Keep up the great work, and thanks for helping all of us become better musicians and players and hopefully people.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. It's always nice to hang out with you too. And thank you everybody for joining us, and thanks for your time.
Yeah. We'll see you in the next session, guys. Bye.
Take care. Next time on the Steve Stein Guitar Podcast.
Nice.
Yeah,
so cool, dude. What's the what's the tone you got going on there?
Right now I've got this is based off of an AC30. That's what this one is. Okay. So yeah, so a little bit thumpier like this, which is always kind of nice when you're, but then you can back it down. I'm trying to remember how that goes. Anyway. Hey, Steve Stein here from GuitarZoom.com, and thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, can I ask you a favor? Please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with a friend. Your feedback means more to me than you'll ever know. And be sure to check out my YouTube channels, where you'll find over 1,000 videos to help you with your guitar playing. Thanks again for listening. Stay positive, keep playing, and keep having fun.
If you'd like some help with your guitar playing but you're not sure how to get started, go to GuitarZoom.com and look for the Help Me Choose survey. By answering a few simple questions, you'll get Steve's personal recommendation of the perfect course for you. All this and more is available for you at GuitarZoom.com.